I'm prepared this morning to preach an hour, and yet I know it's Mother's Day, and so I told some of the ladies that I would shoot to be done. Actually, this is a true story. So I said, we were out there eating breakfast, and Paula says, Jesse, will you preach till... I said, Paula, I promise we're going to get out early. That's going to be my Mother's Day gift to the ladies. They can get to the restaurants early. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? So we could get done early. And she said, oh, so we'll be done by 11:30. I said, Paula, don't push it. Give me a break. So 11:35, Paula. All right, I got 30 minutes. That'll be a record, Mark. It will be an absolute record, but I'm dedicated to the idea of honoring mothers today, and that will be my gift to you. Is getting out in 30 minutes. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right. So I want to invite you, if you would, to Exodus chapter 5. And last week, if you remember, we looked at Exodus chapter 4. We're doing a little study on Moses and the steps that God had Moses going through in order to grow him into a leader. And so I'm really excited about what God's doing. Yesterday we were at, a few of us men went to Grace Baptist Church for men's teaching, and they were talking about leadership. And I was thinking as we were studying this about Moses, and what a great, because you're not a leader unless people are willing to follow you, right? And that's what God was trying to make Moses, somebody that a million or however many children of Israel there were, how many Israelites there were, that group of people would follow Moses. And so we have a process. So last week, just by way of review, we looked at some of the things that Moses starts throwing up to God and said, I'm not sure I can do this. And so if you remember, he started to focus in on the hypotheticals and not on the promises of God. And so first and foremost, last week, focus on the promises of God, what God's promised to do, and forget about the hypotheticals. And let me get... hey, Bruce, could you get me a bottle of water? This is going to be a long message if I don't get some water. Or maybe it'll be a short one. Maybe it'll be even shorter. Okay. So we said, don't focus on the hypotheticals. And then he started again focusing on that he's not gifted. Don't focus on what God has made you. Indeed, God has made you everything that God wants you to be, to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And I was telling somebody the other day that has some concerns, thank you, brother, some concerns about their own inadequacies. I appreciate it. And I said, listen, God is not going to tell you to do something that he has not equipped you to do. And so God wants you to be a good steward of your finances. God is going to equip you to accomplish that task. God wants you to do this thing over here. God's going to equip you to take care of that task. So that's just reality. It would be a mean God that would hold us to do something that we couldn't do. And so God is going to sovereignly and miraculously, in some cases, help you to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And then finally, there was a point at which Moses said, I give up, I'm not going to do it, find someone else. And that kind of attitude is absolutely not what we need to do. God used me. God didn't send somebody else. God did not send Aaron to do this job. God sent Moses. It was Moses' job. And God is sending you to do something, and it's not your neighbor's job. It's not your spouse's job. You have a sphere of influence that God has in your life, and God wants you to accomplish that and to do everything to minister to those people. God has things for you to do that nobody else can do. That you are uniquely qualified to do what God is asking you to do. That's why he asked you to do it. Right? Amen. So it's pretty simple. All right. So now, Moses is on a spiritual high now. He's met with his people, the children of Israel, and he's told them, I met with God. And they're like, wow, you met with God. That's really cool. And he said, listen, God wants to do this. And they said, that's great. Why don't you go up to, they sanctioned basically Moses to go up and do what God called Moses to do. So Moses is on a bit of a spiritual high. He's met God, right? By way of the burning bush. God has uniquely empowered him and called him to do something that, for all intents and purposes, is going to take a miracle. And he believes at this point, he believes he's going, and we believe that he believes because he actually goes to Pharaoh. So he believes that God's going to accomplish something, and that's where we pick up here in the last verse of chapter 4. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, and they bowed low and they worshiped. Moses is now on a high. He's promised big things to the people, right? And the people are believing along with him that God's going to accomplish great things. You ever been on a spiritual high before? Anybody? Felt pretty good? Feel like you can jump mountains and remove mountains even? Your faith is great. God's great. God's going to do things. And I just kind of wrote by my Bible here, and maybe we could affirm this, that God is good, God is wise, and God is able. And so at some point, the children of Israel are on this page. God is good, God is wise, God is able. He's going to accomplish something. Children of Israel leaving it up to Pharaoh, and then, or leaving it up to Moses. And Moses then, verse 1, chapter 5, and afterwards Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, all right, this is the big reveal. Pharaoh has allowed an audience with Moses. And he says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Everything God said to say, all right? This is obedience. This is full of faith, going up to Pharaoh, who had every ability at this point to say, who are you? Now remember, because Pharaoh is basically worshipped as a god. And Pharaoh has the ability at this point to say, Moses, who are you? Take off his head, sort of thing, okay? So I think Moses at this point is full of faith, full of hope, full of obedience, pushing all the buttons. And he says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Not good. I mean, the way I see this happening, God is going to work on Pharaoh and people going to be released. I mean, Moses is on a spiritual high, and he's ready to accomplish some great things. He goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh hits the brakes really fast. You ever had a bad day that got worse? This is what Moses is about to experience. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning. I'm not gonna let the people go. Okay, that's not what God said was gonna happen. This just doesn't sound right. And so then. Moses kind of sweetens the pot a little bit, says, well, hold on, not too quick, verse 3. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Not forever, just give us 3 days. Into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Go back to your labors. Again, Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, You're no longer to give the people straw to make breath, to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather the straw for themselves. So as you know, straw back then, you may know, straw back then was a necessary part of making it, but it bound the bricks, and it was a good thing. And the nice Egyptians were providing the slave laborers the straw, and Pharaoh says, okay, you know, you want to ask for time off. I'm going to make you work harder. Go get your own straw. It's getting worse. A bad day getting worse. But the quota of the bricks, verse 8, which they're making previously, you will impose on them. You're not to reduce any of it because they are lazy. Therefore, and it's for this reason they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men and let them work as it was done before. And so it got worse. Obedience, trusting God to accomplish something, trusting God to accomplish something big, believing finally to the place after much, much talk. God finally convinces him to obey, and then he goes and obeys, and lo and behold, things get worse, not better. That's not as bad. I mean, the day's gotten bad, there's no doubt. But it gets worse. Look at this, verse 21. So Moses goes and tells the people now what happened. Okay? Now he's got a report to the children of Israel. And this is not a happy day. This is, I said to him, May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Now the children, now he's just being obedient, right? You ever done this? I don't know if you've ever been in that place before. You feel like you're doing what God wants you to do, and the next thing, the whole world comes crashing down around you. God, I was just trying to obey you, for heaven's sakes. And here you're making it harder on me. You have, and by the way, this is just a side note, but there is a leadership that God has for his people, whatever that looks like. God has a leadership here. And that leadership is tasked to some degree or another to lead the church, to lead his people. And there's a point sometimes when you're just trying to honor God and I'll just make this just real, trying to honor God as the pastor, trying to do something that God, I just feel like God wants us to do this. You're just getting hit left and right. So I think that's why a lot of pastors leave churches. Because there's a church that is unyielding and unwilling to be led. Are you following that? Hello. That was a great place for an amen, but I didn't expect it. I did not expect it. At some point, there comes a people that have to make it easy for leadership to make the decisions that God wants them to make. That was another great place, but I'm not going to push the envelope here. I'm not going to beg you. So they're not happy, and I could understand. Now, all of the sudden, they have harder labor. And so then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak to him in your name, he has done harm to the people, and you have not delivered your people at all." From chapter 5, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 23, nothing's changed for the better. Everything's gotten worse. Now all of a sudden, their chant, "God is good, God is wise, God is able," is like, God can't be good, God can't be wise, and God is absolutely not able. All of a sudden, the story changes. And I want to just in the last 10 minutes or so look at some truths that we can use in our own life when God is calling us to do something and it looks and we're trying to honor God and things get worse. Am I even preaching to anybody who knows what I'm talking about? You're trying to honor God and you're trying to do what God wants and things get worse, not better. I feel like this is a story that we need to get down, because if we want to be a Moses that's going to accomplish the big things that Moses eventually will accomplish through the power of God, we have to learn these lessons. Sometimes following God is not the easy path. Sometimes honoring God means there are going to be people, haters, that say, well, what are you doing? Hold on, you've made things worse. Sometimes honoring God means things get worse. And we just have to be a church and a people that understand that. So here's some lessons, and then we're going to be done. This is kind of an okay Mother's Day. Dolores is going to preach a Mother's Day sermon, and I thought, I think mothers need to hear this. Yeah. This is a Mother's Day sermon. You mothers out there trying to honor God, trying to do what God's calling you to do, and maybe you have a spouse that's not helping you and things at home are harder because you're trying to honor God, stick with it. Honor God. Honor God. So the first thing is, the first point, three little points this morning. Sometimes things must get difficult or deteriorate before a final victory comes, okay? Sometimes things must get more difficult and deteriorate before you see the answer and the final victory come. This is just a reality. This is just a reality. It's just the way it is. We just accept it. God, I know that following you doesn't necessarily mean that tomorrow is going to be better. But here's what I do know on the authority of God's word, that all things work together. Not immediately, not necessarily immediately, but we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Okay? We know that that's true. We know that that's true. We affirm it this morning, that honoring God is the best way to live. And it may not look like the best way to live today, but and it may not tomorrow, and maybe not next week, and maybe not next year, but there will become a point in your life where you see a final victory come, and God is going to get glory in your life because you've done what God has called you to do. And there are going to be a whole number of people that you lead and that you touch that are going to be blessed because of the life that you lived, because of the choices that you made to honor God despite the circumstances. Things may get difficult before they get better, but let's rest assured, there will be a deliverance for you. And God will deliver you. Stick with it. Do what God's calling you to do. Mothers, trying to raise your kids as unto the Lord. Things are getting worse at home. Maybe you and your spouse aren't walking in the same direction. You're trying to honor God, but he's going that way. Stay honoring God. Do what God's calling you to do. A deliverance is coming. Number two, and I have a lot more to say, but it's Mother's Day. I'm trying to honor my promise. I'm trying to honor my promise. Dale, make a note. I'm preaching a short message. Don't get used to it, Mark. And it's not over yet. Don't. All right, I'll stop picking on you. Oh, Mark's got the final say. Did you see that? I gotcha. Oh, my. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? Oh, he turned me down now. Yeah. All right. So this is a good place. We love one another. I love it. All right. So then number two, don't take your cues from your circumstances. Don't take your cues from your circumstances. Boy, this is a tough one. Because we're so often we want to read the tea leaves, and we want to come over here and say, well, obviously I'm not doing what God's calling me to do, because it ain't working out. We start looking at things getting bad. Hold on, I got to reassess. Did I honor God right? Did I make the right choice? You know, all of a sudden we're reading tea leaves, trying to figure out if we've done the right thing or not, because the circumstances aren't quite working out the way we understood the promise. Okay, and so all of a sudden we're coming back and saying, hold on, obviously I'm not in the middle of God's will because circumstances have gone downhill. No. This is a good thing. This is a good thing because indeed, it's the persevering that really is the ultimate thing. Listen, so here's the thing. The trial is not about the children of Israel being free. Okay, let's get this straight. The thing that he's going through and all this suffering is not so that they could be free. They are suffering so that they could be like Christ. They are suffering, and this process is so that they become more what God wants them to be. It's not about leaving Egypt. It's about becoming the kind of people that God wants us to be. And sometimes the circumstances turn bad, and God allows that so that there's a sort of thing working in us that's making us more like Jesus. Difficulties are good. They don't mean that you're not in God's will. Sometimes exactly the opposite's true. If things go to pot, maybe it's a good chance that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Don't take your cues from what's going on out here. Don't pay attention to that. Honor God. Stay focused. Don't worry about the circumstance. Oh, but the circumstances are killing me. Now it's getting worse. I'm having to do this. I'm having to do that. Used to, I just had to do this and honoring God. I thought I was honoring God. Maybe this is not even what I'm supposed to be doing. I have to believe that Moses is just at this point, he's throwing up his hands and saying, what is this? God, you told me to do this. I was obedient. For two chapters, you were trying to get through my thick skull. I finally got it by the end of chapter 4. He didn't say that because those chapters weren't written yet. But what is going on here? Why is it that things are getting worse? The circumstances aren't the thing you should be focused on. You should just be focused on God. It reminds me God's calling me, right? I got to walk on water. What am I going to do? I'm going to look at the waves? No, I'm not looking at the waves. The waves don't determine whether or not I'm honoring God or not. The only thing that determines that is my faith and my moving towards Jesus. And the second I start looking at the waves, I'm going to sink. Forget about taking your cues from your circumstances. And then remember the Lord. Now, this is really important. It's kind of common sense here. But there are three players in this big picture. There is Moses, there is Pharaoh, and there's God. There are only three, really there's three people here. There's Moses, there's Pharaoh, and there's God. And this hasn't changed for 5,000-6,000 years later. It's the exact same. There's me. There's my circumstances, the people that are trying to tear me down. There are the things that are against me. And there's God. That's it. That's always the same. There's me. There's the thing that's against me. The thing that makes it difficult for me to honor God. And then there's God. It's always the same, always, forever. There's always a Moses, there's always a God, and there's always a Pharaoh. If you're trying to honor God, that's always true. And at some point, I have to determine that the Pharaoh that's coming upon me in my life is no big deal. He only thinks he's a god. He only thinks he's got power over me, but he does not. He has no power over me. I have to just keep focused on what I'm doing and honoring the true, real God. Next week, we're going to look at the plagues, and we're going to determine how God is God and sovereign over everything that we think is real. All that's a facade. There's not really there. Everything that we think is a big deal. No. God's over all that. And there's always just me. There's always God. And there's always my circumstances. And at some point, we just have to kind of boil it all down to that. And so I'm not paying attention to the Pharaohs in my life. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor God. It's interesting. He says, I love this. He goes... Here's God, verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2, I am the Lord. Verse 6, I am the Lord. Verse 7, I am the Lord. Verse 8, I am the Lord. Verse 29, I am the Lord. Hey, we got a little picture here. There's always me, there's always a Pharaoh, and there's always the Lord. And he's trying to get our attention. I am the Lord. The thing that we determine our compass by is not the Pharaoh in our life. It's the I am the Lord in our life. Rest assured, always Pharaohs. And always those Pharaohs come up against us and try to mess things up. And we just sit there and say, no, I just got to focus on I am the Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. You got to focus on that. You got to focus on that. So what's the big deal? So God is the Lord. What's the big deal? Okay, well, here's the big deal that this God said in verse 1, I will do. I will do. Verse 6. I will bring you, verse 6, I will deliver you, verse 6, I will redeem you, verse 7, I will take you, verse 7, I will be your God, verse 8, I will bring, verse 8, I will give. Okay, so you got a little picture here? So it's not just that God is God, it's that God's promises are still true, and he keeps reiterating, okay, the circumstances don't look good, but trust me, I will do what I promised to do. He's a delivering kind of God. Even in difficult circumstances, even when the Pharaohs in life start kind of pounding us down, God will deliver. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Get it through your head, Moses. I will, I will, I will. Church, let's get it in our heads. You have difficult circumstances. God will, God will. He's promised it. Yeah, the Pharaoh's there, and he's trying to antagonize us. He's the antagonist in the story. There's no doubt about it, but he's nothing. He's just a facade. Nothing there. No power whatsoever over Moses, because Moses is following God. No power over Moses. No power over me. No power over you. So he says, I am the Lord, but notice there's two I am statements in this chapter. This occurred to me this morning. I was rereading this, and I read it. I was like, oh, I didn't even pick up on that. So I was reading this morning. He's like, verse 12, here's the other I am statement, except this time it's from Moses. I am unskilled. And verse 30, he says it again. Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am unskilled in my speech. Oh, okay. So I am God, I will, or I'm going to pay attention to more. Well, but God, I am unskilled. No, at some point, we forget about the thing that we think slowing us down and my own limitations, and we allow God to accomplish what God's going to accomplish, even in the middle, Gene, even in the middle of difficult circumstances, even in the middle of Pharaoh coming down, now all of a sudden things are worse. What is the point of honoring God in a world where all he does is make it harder on me? God's not making it harder. God's going to give you a victory, and when that victory comes, it's going to be so great, it's going to blow your mind. Hold on, the payoff's coming. It may not be right now, but the payoff's coming. It's always worth doing the right thing and following God. God will come through. God will come through. And circumstances in life may change. Things may get difficult. God's on it. God is on it. And he's going to come through in spades. Hold on. Just remember, I am the Lord and I will accomplish. Amen. Man, I have more to say. Ah, it's killing me. But I'm going to be true to my word. It is 35 after, and I want so I'm going to preach more on this next week, okay? So we're going to keep touching on base on this. And will you this week, I just want to encourage you. If you're here this week, and I believe in a crowd this size that there's somebody in this room that maybe in the last couple weeks even, as you've heard the messages, you've said, I'm going to honor God. And then in that decision to honor God, things have gotten worse in your life. Stick with it. God is going to accomplish. Allow God to be your ultimate deliverer, and he will accomplish it. And when he does it, the Red Sea is going to part, and it's going to be miraculous, and God's going to get the glory, and it's going to be a big, big deal in your life. Don't settle for looking at the circumstances in your life. Settle for the best. Follow God. Honor God. Lord, we love you. We love you today. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you'll keep us focused on the task that you've called us to do. Lord, we have pharaohs in our life and circumstances in our life that, God, are making it difficult. God, remove them in your time. We believe that you're God and Pharaoh is not God and he has no say over us. So, Lord Jesus, we ask in your name that you deliver us from the things that make it difficult in your time, and we ask that you'd get glory for all that you do in our life. We love you today. Lord, I just pray a special blessing now over every mother, every godly woman who mothers others, maybe even. Lord, we ask that you just bless them today, give them a good day, and Lord, just bless them in an awesome way. And we love them. And Lord, we just ask that you'd pour over them great blessing. Lord, we ask now that you'd dismiss us by your grace and that you'd give us all a good day and return back safely in Jesus' name. Amen.